Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is off limits as host Sophia Franklin dishes on her personal life, like toxic relationships, dating and hookups, and dealing with insecurities. All with humor and real talk. Find Sophia with an F on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Members are giving themselves a pay raise. Do you guys deserve a pay raise?
Well, that's news to me. It's good news. You know, what has it been, 10 years or 14 years of no COLA, no change at all? I think it's about time something's done.
You support giving yourself a pay raise.
It is. How would I not know about a pay raise?
But people look at the performance of Congress and say, why should we give them more money?
What about the media? Think about that for a second.
And we're not paid by public money.
I know you're not, but I mean, half of your listeners are not there anymore. You're still getting the same paycheck? What's going on?
Well, I mean, you're taxpayer money. I mean, you guys deserve a raise.
Oh, it's like a salad of all the ingredients, and they toss it in there, and you're like, maybe this will work. You got the media pressing my senator, Dick Durbin, about pay raises that Dick Durbin doesn't even know are in this thing that he'll eventually have to vote for, vote against. And he's like, well, that's good. It's about time we got a raise. We've been working hard. And then they're pushing back, and this media guy, CNN.
Yeah.
CNN is pushing back and saying, like, you really think you guys need to have a raise right now? And he's like, what about you? You guys suck. You've lost half your audience.
You're getting paid less.
Oh, but we're not being paid by public money. And he's like, but still. You've got Dick Durbin taking pot shots at the mainstream media and CNN over whether or not he should get pay raises that come in a bill that he hasn't read yet. There's so much here. There's so much to unpack. What do you do with all of this?
You know, the other weird thing about it is that usually when they, because politicians try to hide pay raises all the time, you know, Illinois just went through this, or they'll hide things. But he's like, no, I think I deserve it. That's not what they usually say, just to come right out and go, oh, I get one? That's great. I'm voting for that.
If you haven't gotten a raise in 10 years or so, and they're like, yeah, it's about time. I could see how you might think that, yeah, it's about time. Is that the only money that they make when they're in the Senate? Can you get paid speaking fees while you're a sitting senator?
I have no idea. It does seem to me like they make a lot of money while they're in office, though.
Compensation for most senators, representatives, delegates, and the resident commissioner from Puerto Rico is $174,000. These levels have remained unchanged since 2009.
Mm.
15 years. Here's the thing, though. $174,000 in Washington, D.C. sucks. That's not a lot of money. Do you know why? Because Democrats control everything. Mm. It's a problem. Like, you should maybe lower costs and regulations so that things don't cost so much, which is actually kind of like giving yourself a pay raise without having to take more money from the taxpayers in the United States of America, who are also economically struggling because inflation is out of control and we're trying to regulate ourselves into socialism under Democrat control. I say this as somebody who lives in Illinois, where Dick Durbin is a senator.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I've heard that congressmen do is a little insider trading. I don't know a lot about that, but I've heard about that.
Heard a lot about Dan Crenshaw's insider trading last night.
Me too.
Dan Crenshaw, there was an X post that I think it was from Nick Sorter on X who said that Crenshaw was one of the pro CR votes, and he called him out on that. And Dan Crenshaw came out in a profane tirade against the person who posted it, called him effing incel, and said that he was in the no caucus, or that he wasn't in the yes caucus.
Okay.
And it was like, you could have just said, I'm not voting for this.
You could.
But he went in on it. And X had a field day with it. I've had Dan Crenshaw on this show, I think, two times. One of the most uncomfortable interviews I've ever done. Like, of all of them, top five, he's probably, both of those interviews are in the top.
No kidding. I remember you talking to him, but I don't remember it being, was it uncomfortable because of the topic, or was it uncomfortable because he's just not a good interview?
He acted like he was mad he was on the show.
Really?
Yes. It was super uncomfortable for me.
Was he promoting something? Is that why he was doing it?
No, he's a congressman and he represents the American people.
Yeah.
He's supposed to do things like this. He doesn't have to do St. Louis media. Like, if you don't want to do the interview, don't book the interview. I understand in circumstances that people don't want to talk to media outside of their constituency or national that would hit their constituency or, you know, elevate their profile. I get why Dan Crenshaw would not want to do a St. Louis media hit. Don't book it. He was very bothered the whole time. And it's just my personal experience. Maybe he had, I completely understand and respect the fact that 100% of the two times that I talked to him, he had had a really bad day before he got on the air with me. Maybe that's what happened.
I think that might be my approach from now on.
Just to act like he had a bad day?
Yeah. Like, ugh. Like, no matter what it is. Just be like, okay, I guess we can talk about
good
this.
Good luck.
Well, you can just assume that 100% of the time.
Doesn't that track, though, with what Dan Crenshaw kind of presents? Doesn't he always seem bothered?
Yeah.
How do you get into office being bothered all the time? Even I bet.
There's probably a lot of congressmen that are like him. He just became a household name because of the SNL stuff.
I really liked him. I don't necessarily unlike him, but if you've ever been around people who are just always contrary, you agree on everything. And we kind of living in the media business, all three of us can't come on the air and agree 100% on everything. So sometimes we have to be contrary with each other to add an extra layer to the conversation where we pull up, you know, okay, we agree on 80%. Let's discuss the 20% where maybe we see things differently. He seems like a person who is just always trying to, he's with the group, but he wants to be on the outside of the group, but not on the outside of the group where like the Marjorie Taylor Greens and stuff is like on the completely other side. You've got a CR, a continuing resolution. If you want to know the basics of that, what's being discussed right now with the budgeting process on Capitol Hill, we had a great conversation with Hans von Spakovsky at 12:25. Is that on the podcast yet?
Well, it's not up yet.
It's not up yet.
No.
Okay. We always get that stuff uploaded right after the show. If you go to anniefryshow.com/podcast, there's a player there and you can listen to all of the clips. If you don't want to subscribe to a podcast, anniefryshow.com/podcast, and you can listen to them. But I do highly encourage you to go to the Odyssey app, find the Annie Fry Show, and you can listen to all the podcasts right there. It's super simple. The app is always there. It's up 24/7. But talking about a continuing resolution, you know, I was reading through a Nancy Mace X thread yesterday, and it was listing all of these things that were included in the CR, including like revisions of definitions of words. Like, we don't have homeless people anymore. They read this. The CR defines homeless people as people experiencing homeless. Imagine doing that and thinking you're solving the homeless problem.
Yeah. Pat yourself on the back.
That way, when you drive past the homeless people on the street and you think to yourself, those aren't homeless people. Those are people experiencing homelessness. And you just drive on by and feel good about yourself.
Yeah. The light's shining on you. You're wearing an American flag shirt. And you're going, those people are less offended because of what I've called them.
Yeah. I'm a good person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a better person.
I've done a great job today.
Rand Paul, of all people, I'm going to get this story pulled back up here. Rand Paul, of all people, is making a suggestion here. It says, nothing's impossible. Fox News reports that the chaotic collapse of the continuing resolution spending bill is putting House Speaker Mike Johnson's leadership under the spotlight. And Senator Rand Paul has floated the idea of replacing Mike Johnson with Elon Musk.
That's real?
President-elect Trump's pick to co-chair his Department of Government Efficiency, also known as Doge. Paul took to Musk's X on Thursday morning to pitch the idea of the tech billionaire taking the House Speaker's gavel, noting that the Speaker does not need to be a sitting member of Congress. Quote, "The Speaker of the House need not be a member of Congress. Nothing would disrupt the swamp more than electing Elon Musk. Think about it. Nothing's impossible. Not to mention the joy at seeing the collective establishment, a.k.a. Uniparty, lose their ever-loving minds," wrote Rand Paul. Remember the last time when they're like, oh, they should put Donald Trump in as Speaker. Donald Trump should be Speaker. Can you imagine Donald Trump being the Speaker? That'd be amazing. Blah, 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 blah. And we're all like, eh, so you're saying there's a chance. Okay. Like, I think Marjorie Taylor Greene was like, I nominate Donald J. Trump. And everyone's like, okay. Anyway. I don't, like, why would Elon Musk want to be the Speaker of the House? He has other things to do than to be the Speaker of the House. However, he could be the Speaker of the House and then resign.
Yeah. I think it would be cool. I think he would think it would be cool. So I don't think it's a matter of whether he would take the position. I bet he'd do it. Just don't think he's the right guy for that job. You got to be somebody who's willing to pull in a lot of different personalities and coalitions, and he's just not a great communicator. You don't,
but the politics of what the Speaker of the House has always done in the past, Kevin McCarthy, his forte as the Speaker of the House was his ability to fundraise and get Republicans elected. Very valuable. We didn't have it this election. Thank you, Matt Gaetz. We didn't have it this election as a Speaker of the House. We have a razor thin, but yet still Republican majority because that asset had been pulled out of the House of Representatives. But maybe you're a really great fundraiser. Maybe you're good at getting Republicans in the House, but maybe you're not good at getting your caucus together so that you can pass things. Kevin McCarthy clearly was not capable of doing that for whatever particular reason. We have an idea. Matt Gaetz couldn't. You got a one vote to vacate the chair rule in place, and Matt Gaetz used it as much as he could possibly flex. I don't think that the current state of the House of Representatives and politics in Washington, D.C. relies on the backroom deal making. Here's what you're going to do for me, and here's what we're going to do for you. Okay, shake on it, and I'll vote for your bill, even though I really didn't like it at first. But now I can say that I got this out of that for my constituents, blah, blah, blah. Elon Musk has the people on X.
Mm-hmm.
Elon Musk has literally made dramatic decisions on X based on putting a poll up on X. And then he says Vox Populi or whatever it is.
Yeah, Vox Populi, Vox Dei.
Yeah. And that is, I don't know. I mean, we could test the theory, certainly, by putting him in as the Speaker of the House. But the biggest threat to any of these House members is, we're going to primary you and you're going to lose your job. And he would have a different avenue to making that happen than any sort of swamp creature would have had in the back. Who knows how all the bureaucracy works and everything. He could say, screw you to all of that and say, we're not doing it that way. We're going to do it my way. And maybe it fails epically. Maybe it restores the republic.
You do need somebody in this House, well, this current one and the coming one, who are popular with the like, do anything it takes right. Because those are the people that peel off the most right now. The middle people, they're pretty much part of whatever's going on. It's that coalition that Matt Gaetz had. It's the very, very conservative. It's your Thomas Massies, who I love. You need to get them on board. So if you have somebody who can pull them together, you can probably get done with mostly whatever you want. I just, personality-wise, don't know that Elon Musk is that guy. But why wouldn't Ramaswamy be that guy?
If you stop and think about it, what is it that the Thomas Massies and the Chip Roys and those people that you're mentioning really want? I mean, we're not talking about Matt Gaetz anymore. Matt Gaetz was one of those people, but I think he was there for a different reason.
I thought you were saying maggots, like maggot.
No.
That was the mean thing they say.
No, no. Oh, gosh.
I'm like, wow.
We're not talking about Matt Gaetz anymore.
Matt Gaetz.
It's the French pronunciation.
But what they want more than anything is small government and fiscal responsibility. That is always what I... Whenever I see Thomas Massey doing his thing, it's always about shrinking the size of government and being fiscally responsible. Same thing with Chip Roy. That's what they want. And what is it that Elon Musk wants? It's the same thing. Small government, fiscal responsibility.
Go ahead.
I think that Elon Musk could do it. And to Annie's point, the power of we're going to primary you is one of the main reasons why he was able to help them kill this bill now. He's like, anybody that votes yes for that, we're going to primary you. He can do it and he can fund it if he wants to. But more importantly, he has the voice of the people on Twitter or X.
Do you text? Can you text Hans?
Mm-hmm.
Can you text him and ask him if the Speaker of the House needs to be a natural born citizen because he is third in line of succession to the president?
That's a good question.
Well, I've Googled it and read it. It's telling me that, yes, you can absolutely be the Speaker of the House without being a natural born citizen. You would just get skipped in the line of succession. So you
that's,
can't. Can you get a Hans verification
I'll text
on that
him.
For me?
That's what happened with Madeleine
Albright and Henry Kissinger. Yes. So because they were secretaries of state. So I just want a clarification from a constitutional scholar that Elon Musk is not disqualified. Because it's an interesting question.
It's going to be great if he sends you back a screenshot of Reddit.
Yeah, it's Elon Musk. Or no. It's Hans von Zagoski on Reddit. Maybe he's MSK165.
That's him. I'm sure of it.
If it was HVS1776.
2025.
Hans, what are the odds we found you on Reddit? I'm going for my constitutional knowledge now. In the future.
He doesn't do enough media.
Let's take a quick break, and we're going to talk to Jamie Lissow when we come back. I'm excited about that. I haven't talked to our friend Jamie in a while. He is an actor and comedian. You know him on Gutfeld. We've seen him here as he's come through. I think I've seen him twice here at the Funny Bone in the streets of St. Charles. He's a writer. He's a producer. He's a regular on Gutfeld. Our friend Jamie Lissow. I'm going to ask him, how do you handle your family and friends during the holiday parties who voted for the other person, not guy. What do you do? Does Jamie have some advice? We'll find out when we come back. Don't go away.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thank you for being with us. Beautiful Thursday, kind of getting chilly back in St. Louis the way it's supposed to be, the end of December. We appreciate you being with us as we are just a few short days from Christmas. And it's always wonderful to visit with our friend Jamie Lissow, who is back with us, actor and comedian, writer and producer, and regular guest on Gutfeld. Jamie, Merry Christmas. Welcome back to the show. It's good to have you.
Merry Christmas, Annie. Nice to talk to you. And as always, the last few times I've called, you may hear some ambient noises of New York City. What happens is I find a very quiet place to call, and then two crazy people start an imaginary knife fight behind me. And so I thought we would just keep going with the interview until somebody steals my phone, if that works for you.
All right, just holler. There's somebody around who will help you.
Yeah, you'll just hear the pattering of footsteps, and my voice will slowly get quieter, and that'll signal that I no longer have a phone.
And then we'll interview that guy.
Yeah, you can just talk to that guy. Yeah.
Or girl. I'm not here to, you know, either or. I'm okay with each. And what is
it like? I'll be honest with you. I feel like it's a lot of crazy guys lately, but I have been doing my part. And what I've been doing is I kind of have two thoughts here. If I find a crazy guy that's talking to himself, what I do is I find another one and I pair him up. You know what I mean? I put them together. I found a guy yelling and a guy cowering. And I was like, you guys are made for each other. And I'm just going to do this. And also, I'm walking around, and I hear people with imaginary friends they've created that don't seem like they're being very nice to them.
Mm.
You know, it's like, F you. I go, listen, I know some of it's mental illness, but if I ever go crazy, I'm going to invent the kindest imaginary friend. I'm going to be the only guy going, what'd you just say to me? This old thing? I will wear blue more often. I did get my hair cut. I mean, we're making the imaginary friend, you know?
Okay, so the first question I wanted to ask for you, I don't have much prepared for you because, Jamie, you're a hard interview to prepare for. I just kind of go where you take us.
You guys texted me before the show and said we're going to be talking about imaginary knife fights.
Do you have anything on this?
Yeah. What can you tell us? I wanted to ask you about the holiday season. We've seen a lot from the left, really, especially very close to the election being over. Thank God it took an evening to find out who won that election. But a lot of people on the left are saying, go no contact with your Trump supporting family. Don't even go there. Now we're to the point where we're within a week of Christmas. People are starting to get together. Hopefully they've moved away from that. People's politics aren't going to change between November 5th and now. What do you tell people when it comes to getting together for family gatherings this holiday season, when you know that there are some people who are super happy about the results and some people who are the opposite?
Yeah, this is a great question. I feel like it's on everyone's mind. I am one, I think you know this about me, to be serious. I am one that doesn't think any of it's that important, any of it. And so I think we should put family first. And I think if there's somebody on the left that says you shouldn't see your family because they voted for Trump, I think that's a fine loss to deal with. I think that's okay. I don't think we're going to miss that person. And so I've always been like, honestly, my fiance has a slightly different politics than me, and we get along and we love each other and we listen to each other's ideas. And I think one thing that the lefters have to start doing is that there was just a woman yelling at me. That's why I got distracted. I got to find her.
Can you take her?
1 minute. Let me just find someone else yelling. Okay, we're all set. I truly believe that the left needs to realize we have a president. The campaign is over. And so now we sort of they have to, in a way, make the best of it, right? Like, when I saw Kamala the other day, or Kamala, I never know how to pronounce her name, and knowing her, maybe she's been saying it wrong. But I just think we should be done campaigning.
Yeah.
Like, we should just be together as a country. I do feel bad, though, Annie, that so say your football team loses, the presidency is a large version of your football team winning or losing because they're not going to play another game for 4 years. So I do feel for people that kind of took that loss on that night. And what made it even worse is, yes, it was over tonight, but then the next day, the next week, the next month, everyone's doing the Trump dance. Mm-hmm. It's in their faces. It would be like if you broke up with a girl and then she every time you woke up, she was dancing in front of your bed. You go, that girl that doesn't like me. And I just feel bad about that. I do feel bad about that it's like in the faces
and the
dancing in their faces. But,
Jamie Lisso with us right now. You know him from Gutfeld, of course. You've probably seen him many times as he's come to St. Louis and done the St. Charles Funny Bone, actor and comedian. Jamie, so when did you see the report? I think it was yesterday or the day before. People are like, yeah, if Kamala Harris has the energy, I think she should totally run in 2028. What do you think?
I totally agree. I'd love to win again. I think that would be amazing. I'm going to miss her comedy gold. I would have voted for Biden and Harris if the only thing we were trying to vote for was comedy and we didn't have a country to run. Mm-hmm. I would have absolutely chosen those two because I'm going to miss her. That speech she gave you. Yeah, absolutely 100%. That would make me, I feel great about the content on Gutfeld. And also I think that's an easy win. I think the reasons they're stating for her losing, they are so off and they are so delusional that I hope she runs and they run on that. Like, who just said it was either? I think it was Biden just said, yeah, the reason, you know, America's following all this, this underground media and all that. And everything they come out against is uncensored long form media. Like, their problem is with the truth. Like, they go, man, we wish they would just go with CNN when we change her answer. I wish they'd watch that. Like, it's almost like they're coming after. It's so bizarre to me, and I'm kind of stealing this from Gutfeld, but Biden or Kamala said something like, you know, Rogan, you know, the right has Rogan, the right has, you know, all these, you know, I forgot one of the other big Theo Vaughn. So does the left. Like, Rogan would have interviewed Kamala. They're open to everybody that will come and follow the rules. Kamala wouldn't follow the rules. She wanted Rogan to fly out and shorten his interview, and basically she was going, hey, I'll do it if you're not Joe Rogan.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, obviously to their loss, and I am encouraged by their inability to come to grips with the truth. The longer it takes them, the better our chances in the midterms again in 2028, I would say. I think you're totally right on that. You mentioned Gutfeld, and surprising to everybody out on this side of the television screen, Gutfeld recently announced that he is a father. You talk about being a father quite a bit, and I just wondered, have you given Greg Gutfeld parenting fatherhood advice? And if you haven't, you could just do it right here, and we'll send it to him.
I'll tell you the strange thing. He never asked for any.
No?
Very bizarre. I don't know if he doesn't think I'm qualified. You know what? I did give him the old, you know, of course there's jokes and stuff. Like, you know, I don't know if you heard the baby was born like 8 pounds, 3 ounces and 2 inches taller than Greg. And, you know, and she's going to wear his hand-me-ups,
ooh,
I guess. That's what they decided. And I'm not sure exactly what that means, but I like saying it. Mm-hmm. I did tell him in all seriousness when he texted me that, you know, I asked him, I think a lot of people were like, where's Greg, you know?
Yeah.
And so like a month ago or something, I think I go, hey man, I think I know where you are, like what you're doing, but I just want to check on you. And we had been talking and I just told him, I feel like all of the things, especially in entertainment, there's sort of like this thing where people say, if you have a kid, it's going to ruin your career, especially comedy. Like, oh man, I know comedian friends that there's many, many famous comedians with no children because they're like, you know, it's this solo job. It's hard to leave the home. It's going to hamper my success. I could not disagree more. And I think that having kids takes you outside of yourself and sort of deep, like I talked about politics, like deprioritizes work and politics just a tiny bit, just so that you can get that, you know, I think we're all here for the same reason, which is to love people. And it just gives you this, I describe having a kid as just going into like a Build-A-Bear shop and making a best friend.
it's just not walk out of there with
a best friend.
Yeah, it's not untrue. I have four kids myself, and they're from almost 15 in next week, the day after Christmas, down to 3 years old. And so we're in all these different phases of life. But what it does, it humbles you and it gives you perspective that if you don't have that, doesn't mean you can't have good perspective, but it does alter the future of how you see things and how you anticipate the future. Do you feel like, I mean, it was like the best kept secret that I've seen come out of the media that he was expecting in that regard. Do you feel like it's going to be a part of the future of Gutfeld? Do you think he's going to talk about being a dad, or is that, I mean, totally respect if it's a private thing for him?
It's a good question. It was a very well kept secret. Greg told me he found out after the baby was born. And that was really, really an unbelievable job they did. I think, I don't know if it'll be part of it, but I know Dana Perino I waited to tell anybody until I saw Dana Perino tweet something or do something on Fox. So I do know that it is out there, the news, but I don't know how much a part of the show it will be.
Yeah.
But I agree with everything you said about kids. Like, it humbles you, and also it takes care of, I don't know if you also find it annoying when you have too much money in your bank account.
Mm.
God, that's annoying, but it takes care of that. And before kids, I used to have a comma in my bank account. I would look down there and there was a comma in there. I go, let's get rid of that thing.
That is not wrong. Jamie Lissau with us right now. Before we let you go, Jamie, I wanted to ask you, you know, we talked a lot about the Kamala contingent and the fact that they haven't seemed to learn any lessons on that side yet, but those lessons might come. They have a little time to think about it. What do you think about Donald Trump 2024, going into 2025? This man has an entourage of the wealth. I think I saw like his cabinet's worth, I don't know, it was like $400 billion or something like that, people who he's put in there. Just the minds that he is assembling, obviously the wealth that is behind that, which, you know, I would say indicates some level of success and know-how into the things that they're going to be contributing to, should they be confirmed. What do you think about this Donald Trump? Maybe it's not even 2.0, it might be 3.0.
I am very excited. If you look at his cabinet versus, have you ever seen Biden's cabinet? It's just filled with prescription drugs. And I couldn't be more excited. I'm excited about Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy, who I was on Gutfeld with. And a month before he announced he was with Elon, he had texted me like what comedy club to go to in New York City. And I helped him and his wife like figure out what club to go to. And then I saw him and Elon and I was like, this feels like 2 degrees of Kevin Bacon with people that are more important. This feels good.
Elevate.
But I'm excited about I'm very excited about, like, I think I'm most excited about the, you know, the Doge. I think I'm most excited about transparency and saving money and, you know, seeing every step of the way exactly what they're doing. I think that also says a lot about anyone that comes out against transparency. Like, it just, I feel like it shows your true colors. And I don't know how you feel about Elon. He's so smart that I just decided my beliefs are his beliefs. Whatever he believes, sometimes he'll go, hey, we should send a rocket up there because. I go, Dad, we don't need the because. Let's do it. I'm in. Like, I went to a bookstore the other day, and there was a book called The Benefits of Fish Oils, and it was 550 pages, and I go, I'll take them. You got me. I believe you. That's how I feel about Elon Musk. And, you know, his big vision is to send us to Mars. If Earth becomes uninhabitable, that's like his big vision. And then California, we know why, says that he can't light rockets off anymore because the you know, the sonic booms are disrupting wild. Let me tell you something. This might sound insensitive. I don't think I care if every once in a while a bear's like, the heck was that? I don't care. I do not care. We are going to Mars. I'm very excited about the whole cabin. I have not been this excited and confident about America in a very long time. It feels like exciting times. It feels like change.
Yeah. I'm 40 years old, and we've talked about this here on the show since the election, that in my lifetime, I don't think that I've ever been so excited and anticipatory on what is going to happen next, because the transformative ability of this new presidency coming in that has the experience, that wouldn't have been able to do what they're going to do now if he would have won in 2020. It's just really a moment in American history that is really exciting. I'm right there with you.
I agree. I just turned 40 10 years ago.
Yeah?
And I feel the exact same way.
Jamie,
very, very excited.
Merry Christmas to you. Thank you for the time today. We really appreciate it. And we can't wait to get you back in St. Louis and get all your shows sold out as fast as possible, get you back in the studio. We're really appreciative of your time.
Absolutely, anytime. Merry Christmas, Annie, Brad, Ethan, and you guys take care, and I will talk to you soon.
All right. Sounds great. Thank you so much.
Take care.
Bye-bye. And you, Ryan.
And me, Jamie. Hey. Merry Christmas, Jamie.
Would you believe that I told him to say that?
I would believe that.
I would not ever.
I would believe that you would, though.
I would not ever.
It's because Brad booked it. He talked to Ethan on the phone. He was talking to you just now. And
Well,
Ethan's in the studio for now. Why? What are you doing?
It's like 3 degrees of Kevin Bacon with you now, Ethan.
I just.
Now you almost know Elon Musk.
I heard someone wish me a Merry Christmas, and I just felt so appreciative
warm.
And warm inside that someone would mention me. But what made me feel even warmer was that Ryan Wiggins wasn't mentioned.
You walked in really fast. What is this?
It's time for a gift. That's what that sounder means. I didn't know that it was 30 seconds.
Are we giving away something?
No.
What's happening?
It's the opposite. Somebody gave us something.
Oh.
And I thought now would be the perfect time for this gift.
Oh, it's like the perfect
gift.
So
I'm going to give this to you. Open this up. Brad, you can... Come here, Ryan. I'm not getting up. You can get up.
That's really bad, but okay.
I would toss it to you, but I don't want to break. You can tell us who this gift is from. This was delivered to my desk. Are you really in pain, old man? I didn't know that. I got up. Don't drop it. It is from
Bobo Farms.
Bobo Farms from the Annie Fry YouTube
chat.
And since we just got a Merry Christmas wish to Ethan and Brad and myself, thank you, Jimmy Lisso. Now we have from Bobo Farms.
Bobo says, Merry Christmas, y'all. Wishing you and your families a joyful holiday season and blessings in the new year.
Thank you so much. That's Bobo. I love this. It's amazing.
And if I had to choose to get a Merry Christmas from anybody, like if you said you could get it from somebody on Gutfeld or you could get it from Bobo Farms, I would choose Bobo.
That's good. You want to tell us what this is?
This is an ornament that says The Annie Fry Show. And it's an ornament that has a little dangly ornament on it, by the way. And it has Ryan, Brad, and Annie.
I got that and I opened it. I'm like, this is so cute and adorable. Ethan's
perfectly
not on it.
Perfectly timed.
So if the universe is in sync right now, I'm feeling pretty good about this. I was actually going to tell you, Ryan, to get a Sharpie and on the back of it, I need you to draw Ethan.
Oh, no, I couldn't do that.
You would, absolutely.
No, I can't draw or have Ethan a part of
can
this
you show?
At all.
Did you show it to Bobo, who might even be looking up there?
Not right? seeing Bobo.
Here you
Hold
go.
Hold on a second.
We oh, got that's
it.
Awesome.
No, I'm showing it to Jamie Lisso right now. That's me. That's my name right there, Jamie.
Stop blocking my name.
There.
There you go.
I put you there, and then, gosh, everything is different.
Let me ask you this. If Jamie would have said, Merry Christmas, Ryan, would you have drawn me on the back?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's...
Yeah, it's vengeance.
Does it feel good? Do you feel nice and warm
we're
inside?
We're getting there, you know? I mean, we got a ways to go.
We'll put it on the Christmas tree that's right behind Brad in the studio, which is our Christmas tree, which I bought last year, brand new, and the lights didn't work this year. I was pretty ticked off about
it. You know, the only thing about this mm-hmm. is that it's only going to be good for another week or so, because it's 2024.
You don't put them away after the year. It commemorates the year. Don't you even know how to year ornament?
Well, you do it your way.
I think we will.
It's our show.
Yeah. All right, why don't you go hang it on the Christmas tree, unless you are going to draw Ethan on the back.
Oh.
Maybe we'll have Ethan autograph it. We should probably have... Yeah, let's do that. We'll have Ethan sign the back. Bobo Farms, thank you so much for that. That was such a sweet gift, and we really appreciate every single one of you who is out there listening to us each day. It is so wonderful to meet you, to have the opportunity to talk to you, and I... Bobo, don't be embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed. It's awesome, actually. And he got the Jamie Lisso endorsement. We'll be right back. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We have an update from constitutional scholar Hans von Spakovsky. The question on our YouTube live chat poll is, who should be the next Speaker of the House? Mike Johnson, Thomas Massey, that's a name that's been floating around there. I just... wanted another name. I didn't know who else to put in there. Elon Musk as the Speaker of the House, or just generally speaking, someone else. When we were in the first segment of this hour, we were talking about how Senator Rand Paul came out and said, why not Elon Musk? It's not the craziest thing. It's a really interesting proposition. And then we had a commenter on our YouTube channel say that they didn't believe that Elon Musk could do it because he would be the third in the line of succession. And he is, of course, what is he, South African? And so not a natural born citizen, and therefore would not be eligible to become the president of the United States. And we said, well, what do you do when you have a constitutional scholar in a radio show? You ask constitutional experts for their expert opinion. So Brad texted Hans von Spakovsky, who was actually on with us at 12:25, to ask him that question. What did he say?
So he said there is no explicit requirement that the speaker be a member of the House in the Constitution. There has never been a speaker, however, in our history who has never or who has not been a member of the House. If a non-citizen were chosen, the line of succession would have to skip him.
So he can do it.
So he
and
do
he
it.
Just can't be the president. There you
so
go.
It would be another unprecedented move.
And unprecedented.
And yes, thank you very much.
He would be an unprecedented Speaker of the House.
Yes. He would just keep serving as Speaker.
There you go. It's an interesting wrinkle, and I'm glad we covered that up.
Yep, I like covering up wrinkles.
You getting that VH?
Red
getting to
light
be that age?
Therapy, yeah. Yeah, crow's feet. Ooh, my gosh.
I like crow's feet.
Do you? I like actual crow's feet. I think they help the crow stand. I don't like when they're on my face, whether they be real crow's feet or the wrinkle type.
I don't know. Crow's feet show that you smile.
Brad's trying to get it back on the track.
Yes, trying, Ryan.
I was going to let you just hang out to dry.
Thanks, Brad.
You're welcome, bud.
Brad?
Said I like crow's feet because it tells me that person likes to smile, laugh, and all those other things. I would think you, a man of humor, would appreciate that, but apparently not.
No, I don't laugh at my own jokes, as you know.
That's not true.
When the crow's feet,
that's not true.
Couldn't you have crow's
you
feet that are
giggly,
angled down if you're real frowny
that's
too?
What mine do.
Your crow's feet are angled down.
That's because my cheeks go up and the lines go down.
See, I would think that if you smile a lot, it would push the crow's feet up. You'd have happy eyes, but. If
people don't think that there is a difference between men and women, they have not heard this conversation.
I actually don't know anything about crow's feet. Other than
obviously
that they are on the side of the eyes.
The
and
man
on the bottom
conversation
of the bird.
About
how much effort we put into this subject.
I don't know if you know this.
Who's we?
Men. How often or how much do girls worry about this, and how much do men actually think about it?
There's a huge
disparity
there.
This is the first time I've really thought about it being a reality in my life ever. Because I know that I got dark circles under my eyes, and I do nothing about that.
Do you care about... Does it bother you?
Not really, but I... Here's the thing. I don't put on almost any makeup in the morning. In fact, you could say none. I don't put on any makeup. Sometimes some chapstick. Does that count?
Huh? I was reading...
Sorry, I wasn't listening.
Well, I've lost interest. Yeah. I'm not going to get enticed into this unserious conversation. There are important things happening in the world.
I'm trying to pull you in.
No, you're not.
I am trying to be a very gracious co-host.
You're doing the Ryan Wiggins thing. Brad's doing the Brad thing.
No.
And I'm reading Janine's comments, who said, I like actual crow's feet. Where else would you hear that? I don't know, Janine. I don't know. I don't know why you hear it here. And I'm here. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to do.
He said it.
The crows seem to be calling his name, thought Caw.
It's the weirdest fetish ever.
I just quoted Jack Handy. I got to give him credit. That's a deep thought.
You're obsessed with Jack Handy.
I am obsessed with Jack
Handy. You're obsessed with him.
I am. I'm nervous because I'm going to send him the grocery list, and he's going to, because he's read portions of it.
He's
that's why he
sue
gave me
you for putting his name.
I know. I'm a little bit concerned that he's going to be like, this is like really similar to my book.
Why would you send him your grocery list?
Because he endorsed it. He read enough material that he endorsed it. But I'm going to send him the full book now that it's out. So
I'll speak slower. What's the grocery list?
Ah. It's just
here. Put the ball it's just, right on the tee, and you're like, "Well, duh, you dummy."
I mean, now that we're on the subject,
here's the deal. I don't want to be here hawking the fact that Ryan Wiggins wrote a book and he's trying to sell copies. I don't want to support him in that way. I want to very subtly, regularly tee him up so that he has the opportunity to sell it, so we both get what we want. But Ryan doesn't get it.
No, Wiggins grocery list is like the easiest way to type it in, but I don't even know that. Like, I don't even know to tell you that. But I just want people to read it. You know, it's about sharing, it's about caring. If you buy it, that's fine, but I just want you to read it and tell me what
that's
you
not
think.
True. You really only want them to buy it.
If you, well, okay. I'll take one or the other.
We'll be right back. Don't go away.